Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by Olive Crest and features Michael Genovese, and he's joining us from Chase Energy Solutions, Inc. from Yorba Linda, California. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. First of all, I want to just thank you for having me on the show, and it's nice to see you again.
Well, it's nice to see you, and thank you for coming on today. I'm really excited because we're going to talk about something that affects more of you than you will know. It's California law AB 1103, and it affects anyone who owns commercial real estate of a certain size, and I'll let Michael get into those details in a second. But before we get into that, we always like to start by getting to know a little bit about our guests. So if you could share a little about your background and how you got into this particular field, Michael.
Well, Bill, just to kind of give you an idea about the personal side, I am a father of 5 wonderful, awesome kids. Their ages this year are 26, 24, 19, or 20, 26, 24, 21, 19, and 17. So having, thank you. So having that age bracket, it is quite, it's quite a chore. It's a lot of moving parts that you always have to keep your eye on all the time.
Very active. You've been active for many years. I can imagine
exactly.
The refrigerator's been full of schedules and different things all for many years now.
Exactly right. Yes.
And so how did you get involved with Chase Energy Solutions?
Well, I have been in the mortgage banking arena from the residential side for the past 34 years. Got into it in 1980. And have done every aspect of that business, anywhere from an originator to a sales manager to an actual owner of a mortgage company. It's just been across the board. I've been with some of the larger Nations Bank / B of A, have built some huge teams from the builder division for Wells Fargo, Countrywide, have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in that industry. And I think right now they're just trying to find their footing as to where they're going, and I just felt it was time to make a little bit of change for myself. The last 3 years, I've been on the compliance side of the mortgage banking business, and that was a whole new eye-opening experience for me. It wasn't on the origination side. It wasn't on the production side. It was more on trying to figure out what is good paper, bad paper, and investors, and so on and so forth. So with that, I knew I wanted to kind of make a change in the business, and was lucky enough to come across Nick Allen, the president of Chase Energy Solutions. He also had a mortgage banker background years ago, and we got to talking over numerous conference calls, and just felt that this was something I wanted to do. And it was involved sales. They were looking for a regional manager here in Southern California, and of course, energy affects all of us every single day. So I felt it was a kind of a win-win situation for everybody.
Absolutely. And with all that, you know, a lot of our listeners have been doing what they do for a long time. And a lot of them are trying to find a new passion, thinking about that as they transition from their business or what they've been doing for so many years. And I call it rewiring, not retiring. And but you have a lot of passion about this. I could tell when we first talked about this, you have a lot of passion about this. And it's a very interesting law. It's AB 1103. Who does it affect and what's it all about? And tell us a little bit about this, because not very many people that I've talked to know about this.
Correct. AB 1103 was actually started to be implemented in January 1st, 2010. But because of the delays and the difficulties, it kept getting pushed back. And it finally got mandated as of January 1st, 2014. And it's now effective in law. And you're right. One of our biggest challenges is to get the word out there to the commercial real estate agents, to the escrow titles who do commercial business, and then also to the buyers and sellers of these properties also. It's very important because as these deals are coming across, as we're finding out, there are some transactions up in Northern California that you had a buyer of a building who, let's say the building was 100,000 square foot building up there, and he has those same type of buildings in his portfolio. And 6 months into this year, he's now looking at his utility bills and saying, why is this building I just bought, you know, 50% more energy cost to me versus my other buildings? And so he found out about AB 1103, found out the disclosures were not part of his package. And so now you have the escrow, the title, the lender having to unwind these deals to try to stay in compliance.
Okay, let's back up a little bit for our listeners. AB 1103 is an energy usage and compliance type of a bill, right?
Correct. It is a bill that is saying between the two parties that there must be an energy disclosure about the building to the buyer and seller. And so right now it stands at 10,000 square feet and above. And as of July 1st of this year, it'll drop down to 5,000 square feet.
Which is going to cover a ton of buildings. I mean, so to back that up a little bit, if you own a building that is a commercial building with 5,000 or more square feet, and you intend to sell that building someday in the future or today, you have to have first done an audit of your energy usage and cost. And it's a comprehensive audit. And if you don't do that, what happens? Can you not sell the building? Or
you can, as we're finding out, you can do that, but you would be out of compliance. And so if someone were to find out about it, they'd probably want to pull the deal or whatever the case may be, because it has to be disclosed to the buyer and seller. It's also when you refinance a property. It's also if you're leasing out the whole entire property, that the whole entire building, that this law comes into effect.
Okay, so let me back up what I said. I said if it was upon sale, but it's upon refinance, leasing, basically any kind of changes with regards to the occupancy of a building or the ownership of a building.
Correct, yes.
Or a tenant coming in. So bottom line is everybody's going to have this done.
It is. That's exactly right. And I think it's for the better because, again, when you're in there trying to buy something, you're not sure if you're buying an energy hog or something that's, you know, was looked at a couple of years ago, who's looked at last month. You'd like to know that information. I mean, on the residential side, you have disclosures coming from everywhere. And this is exactly what's happening
Absolutely.
Now on the commercial side, that they want to have the same type of disclosure so that everybody is aware of what these people are getting into.
No, it seems like it's a good thing. It's a good thing for us as people and energy consumers. It's a good thing overall. But a lot of people, because you said it started off in 2010 and then it kind of got pushed back. And so people probably forgot about it and didn't realize, oh,
correct.
Well. And then it came into law January 1 of this year.
Yes.
And now it gets even more severe because 10,000 square foot buildings, yeah, there's a lot of those. But now we're talking about 5,000 square foot buildings starting July 1st.
Correct.
So what do people have to do to come into compliance? How comprehensive is the audit?
It is. It's very comprehensive in the fact that if you've never done it before, these are brand new terms for you, brand new analogies that usually most business owners or building owners don't, you know, feel comfortable doing. That's why Chase Energy Solutions, we go in there. And I think what makes us different than just about any other company out there, Bill, is that we go in there and we know that the biggest drain on the carbon footprint is electricity. We all know that. And so most companies only go after and try to fix that carbon footprint through the adjustment of electricity, just changing a bulb or whatever the case may be. We go in and we look at everything. We look at everything about it, not only electricity. We look at the water. We look at the gas, compressed gas. If you have parking structure, we look at that. If you had elevators, if you had stuff like that, we do the whole entire thing. If you had solar panels, if you had chillers, boilers, any of those things, if you had a golf course, we'd check out the irrigation for you, make sure it's all doing what it's supposed to be doing. We'd do the whole entire building envelope, which would be anything from the roofing, the windows, insulation. So it's much more than just electricity.
Yeah, when you think about it, there are a lot of ways that buildings can be inefficient.
Correct.
And that's what you're talking about. It's not just the electrical usage, but all the different systems that go into it.
Correct, exactly.
And the impact, of course, for a business owner, and I've seen one of your audits and the results of it, and it's impressive because the cost savings can be quite dramatic.
Yes.
Over time, especially.
Correct.
That's compared absolutely. To what it costs to go through this, which they're going to have to do anyways.
Correct.
So what? So I guess what a lot of our listeners would probably ask is, well, if I decide to sell my building, I'll get it done, and can they do it themselves?
They can. They can do it themselves. I know Southern California Edison here in Southern California has classes that they can go to. I was certified. I went through that benchmarking class through Southern California Edison. And that's one way to go. I mean, you can do that. It's just very complicated. I use the analogy of, you know, you could change your oil in your car, but you don't, because if someone else can do it better, faster,
well, this
more
is
efficient.
This is more like tearing down your transmission. Changing your oil is one thing. I looked at I went online and I looked at what the state's asking for, and it's a lot of information.
It is. It's the Southern California Energy Star Wizard is only 5 or 6 pages into the program to do the software, but it takes you 48 pages. They tried to explain it to you, so it just tells you it can be very complicated. And the biggest thing is trying to obtain all of the energy statements from Southern California Edison in a timely manner to make sure it's all good, you know, inputted properly.
Yeah, this isn't like getting your smog inspected on your car. This is not a simple deal, because buildings, obviously, they're all different and they all have different systems going on. So your company actually comes in and helps business owners do the audit, do it properly, does the hard work, and then produces a report and shows them not only how they come into compliance, but how they can save energy in other areas as well, which is cost savings.
Right, exactly. And one of the bigger things that comes in that audit, Bill, is that we do a peer-to-peer, building-to-building, not only in the city, but the area and also in the state. So you have a really good indication if you have a 100,000 square foot building and you are doing manufacturing. We have peer-to-peer buildings in the area that we compare it with. Most companies do a database of, you know, 2 or 3 that they pull from. We're ranging in the range of 8 to 9 databases that we pull from. So we use a tremendous amount of information and education, not only to the building owner, okay, but also to the agents who are selling, and escrow and title and everything else. It truly is, and this is what I'm so excited about and passionate about, is because hardly anybody knows about it. And
yeah,
so we are really on the forefront of really busting loose here.
And that benchmarking is important from the standpoint that now you can see how you compare to others and if you're really efficient versus what some others might be doing out there.
Right, because when I go and I talk to a building owner, I'll ask him, you know, do you think your building is energy efficient? And he'll say, well, yes, it is. And I said, that's based off of what? Have you had someone come out here? No, but the equipment I purchased 10 years ago was state of the art. It probably was. It probably was 10 years ago, but you have no idea what it's doing now. There's a saying in the industry that you can't manage what you don't measure. And if you don't have an idea of what you're really looking at, you're just guessing. You're assuming that you're competitive. You're assuming you're getting, you know, your utilities and everything streamlined to a bottom line that's profitable to you, but you have no idea. So benchmarking is so important, because it allows you an actual cost. It allows you, basically what we do is a complete footprint of all of the energy usage in that whole entire building from top to bottom. So you have a really good idea. I mean, there may be some things that you're really efficient at, and then other things that you're really, really behind the eight ball.
And the report that I saw graphically shows you a lot of these things. It makes it easy for a business owner to realize it's not just, because some of those, the detail and the technicality, yes, of some, yes, of those tests is make your head spin. But yes, when you look at the graphics and you can see, okay, well, we can clearly see where we need to work on. Now, when somebody does that, is it one thing to get into compliance and another to do all of the steps to get a really energy efficient building, or is it one and the same?
Well, basically what we do is that staying in compliance is what has to be done. I mean, that's mandated by law. But what we do is we have a program, it's the Energy Main, where we will actually, when we come out and do the benchmarking, we will actually have a live body walk the building for you, okay, and with you. Get the dimensions, get everything scoped out, get all the reads for you. We will do all the data input into the wizard. We will do all that for you for a price. And so based upon that, there is no Mr. Building Owner having to guess. Did I hit the right button? Did I get the right calculations? I mean, that's all responsible for us. We also would then check out and make sure that we do, based on that report you saw, we provide the best for your state, for your county, for your region, for your business. We look at the best tax credits, the best rebates for the utilities, and whatever type of special financing is available. Especially right now, Congress is really pushing for the reduction of the carbon footprint. And so this is, we think, is just, timing's perfect.
Yeah, you can really sort through all the programs. And the other thing is that Chase is not just a California company. You guys do this nationwide.
Yes,
right?
We do. Yes.
And, do other states have similar types of bills or programs in place?
There are, I believe, about 7, maybe 8 or 9 other states that have mandated these types of requirements. I believe within the next few years, you're going to see more and more demand it and put it into law simply because it makes sense.
California is usually on the bleeding edge of this kind of stuff anyways.
Yes.
Right? But the bottom line is that Chase can come in and not only assess your buildings here, but also other parts of the country. And the cost savings, what I saw was, you know, it's kind of like you put a buck in and you get back hundreds of dollars of savings over time. It's an ongoing type of a thing.
Right. There are situations that we've seen savings from 30, 40, 50% to the bottom line. And that goes right to the bottom line. I mean, you have that monthly bill. If you can reduce that with a specialized financing to push it out, you know, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the program may be, it's well worth it.
What's the first step for someone who wants to get in touch with you and maybe talk about having a study done, Michael?
What I would suggest is get a hold of me on my cell phone, 714-336-5771, or you can reach me at mgenevay, G-E-N-E-V-A-Y, at chaseesi.com. That's the best way to do. I would also ask you to go to our website at www.chaseesi.com, and please download a free brochure, learn about the company, because we are a national company. Every state is different with its laws and regulations, and that's important.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. It's very interesting, and we want our listeners to be aware of this. We're going to upload this information later, and of course, let other building owners that you know about this, because it's not something a lot of people know about at this point, and it's probably going to be a lot more difficult to get studies scheduled in a timely manner as more and more building owners have to comply with this. So, Michael, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with another guest.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.